Welcome to another episode of the Two Piece Start Live podcast. He's Tim.
And he's Ray. And I don't have a joke this week, so sorry. I was going to make fun of your name every week, but that'll get old.
We got a good show for you today. We got trivia, topic of the week. We're going to talk a little bit about Zach and Wiki. Comic talk, suggestion box, Jessica Barriga maybe, and some Black Doom award. So, with that, let's go ahead and get started with trivia for two, please.
Mmm, it does go well with a chicken.
My questions are a little on the pathetic side, so we'll see how well this one goes here.
Well, now you're setting me up for failure. You realize that?
Seriously, man.
These are so easy.
I was reaching for these ones. Okay. Question number one, easy. In The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past, what items do you collect from the bosses in the Dark World? Crystals, weapons, or pieces of the Triforce?
Wait, and this is the SNES game?
Yes.
not weapons. Crystals. Is that it? That's not... I'd have to say Triforce pieces.
I'm sorry, you were incorrect.
Are you
serious? The correct answer was crystals.
Ah, you know, I haven't played that game in forever. Like, literally forever.
All right, here's your hard question. Here we go. Ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, the Sega Genesis, Sega Saturn, and Sega Dreamcast are all Sega consoles. Name two that I failed to mention.
You said Genesis?
Saturn. Genesis, Saturn, and Dreamcast.
And we're talking, it can't be a handheld?
It's not a handheld, no.
Could it be an add-on?
Yeah, they are both add-ons.
Sega CD and the 32X?
Oh, you got it. Good job.
There you go.
Hey.
I know my video game hardware history, so.
Delicious again, Peter.
All right, you ready for yours?
Yeah, hit me with your best shot.
Yeah, okay, question number one. In the original Sonic the Hedgehog, Green Hill Zone Act 1, what is the widely accepted best possible time that can be achieved in Act 1?
I've never seen a Green Hill Act 1 speedrun before, so I'm going to go ahead and guess 16 seconds.
That is incorrect. Most people, if they're really good, can get 25 seconds, but, and I haven't seen a video of this, but it is thought that the world record is actually 24 seconds when people can actually beat it by a hundredth of a second before it hits 25.
Oh,
and
geez.
So they actually do get 24 seconds as their best time. So there you go. There you have it.
That was a mean question, Tim.
The only reason I thought to ask that was because that was the one Sonic game where I actually did some speedruns, and it was really only Green Hill Zone.
Right.
And I know you do a lot of the speedruns on the more modern Sonic games.
Right,
so.
The Rush games, yeah.
Yeah, so. All right, well, this is your only chance to tie me here. And I don't think this is a very easy question, so.
Okay, all right.
Okay, what is the ratio of Sonic the Hedgehog main series titles to all other Sonic the Hedgehog games? That includes handheld, compilations, and spin-offs.
And, like, PC games as well?
Like, what would be the title? What's a PC game?
Like, I don't know, actually. I think there's, like, Sonic Typing or something ridiculous, probably. I don't know. Okay, well, if you don't know, then that's good. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna go with 2 spin-offs for every 1 main title.
That is incorrect.
The
correct ratio is 4-1.
4 main titles per spin-off?
4 spin-off / compilation / handheld.
Wow. Yeah, wow, I was that's crazy. Surprised. I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah. If when you consider the all the racing games and the puzzle games and the compilations right. they've done and all the handheld titles they've done.
All the games no one else plays.
Yeah, basically ones you the only released in Japan, like Tales Sky Patrol.
Jeez.
So there you have it.
Well, okay, I guess this shows you need to go a little easier on me from now on.
Tim. Yeah.
I can't. Those are crazy.
Yeah, I told you they were pretty hard. Maybe I'll have to expand a little bit or come up with a really basic one. And, yeah.
See, that last one was more like research. I had to go and, like, research the question, you know? Like, that shouldn't be the case.
You don't know that offhand? I mean, come on, Ray.
Well, I just counted up every title in my mind and...
Oh, man. Well,
all right. Well,
moving on.
You win another round, Tim. You win another round. I guess either you need to get easier or I need to go harder on you. Who knows? But next up, though, is the topic of the week. And this week, we're going to chat about Zach and Wiki, the hard-to-find but really nice game that we've been playing for a little while. And you haven't beaten it yet, right, Tim?
Oh, no. I think maybe I'm halfway through, but that's the easy half, so...
Yeah, but that thing is, we don't even know what halfway through the game really is. I mean, we kind of have, like, a set goal in mind, but we don't quite know for sure. I'm definitely farther than Tim is by about one world or whatever, but I'm kind of stuck right now. I haven't really had a chance to really dive into that level yet, though, so I'm probably just an idiot. But yeah, it seems like a really awesome game so far. I'm really liking it a lot.
Yeah, you know, I think I've mentioned I'm a fan of the old Sierra titles like the King's Quest and the stuff where, you know, it kind of takes a lot of thinking to think, you know, I have this item, what do I do with it, where do I put it?
Right.
And the only problem with those types of games is they're very open-ended, like you have a whole kind of world you can explore, so you may have to take an item, you know, 10 screens to the left, and you really don't know.
Yeah.
And what I like about this game is each level is kind of, you know, self-contained. And there's only so many things you can do, and you know, if you get stuck, there's usually another level that's open that you can go to, and so while there is definitely frustration because you know there are very challenging parts to it.
Yeah, I mean the nice thing is that there's not like three levels that are open at once, and you have to take an item from one of those levels to another level.
Right.
Like that's when it would get really crazy, is when you're like, oh, I don't know what to do here. Maybe I need to leave and go investigate other places. Like thankfully, it's just one level per. It's basically just one self-contained level puzzle, so it's quite fun, actually. I'm really happy with the art style, too. You know what it really reminded me of when I first started playing it?
Wind Waker?
No, not so much Wind Waker as it did Skies of Arcadia for me.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Did you ever play Skies of Arcadia?
I played a little bit of it, yeah, where it opens with the airship and all that stuff.
Right, yeah, it seems, yeah, it's very much, you know, like, you know, adventure, treasure, you know, you're in the air. Of course, they're not boats in the air, but I don't know, I kind of got that same sort of vibe off of it, so it's kind of bringing back some nice feelings for me.
Yeah, I really like the style and just... I guess the crispness of the environments and such, you know, you can go into a camera mode where you can pan and zoom the whole level. And it's kind of, I mean, even levels where I don't have to look at the whole level to kind of figure out what to do, it's fun to just zoom in and look at all the things in detail.
Oh, yeah.
There's no texture loss there when you zoom in. It's everything's crisp and nice, and it's just nice to look at, you know?
Oh yeah, it's really nice to zoom all the way out and see the whole stage, like kind of like, you know, it's like cut in half basically. Like you're looking inside rooms and things like that. It's actually quite impressive, but then again, it is a very small area, so they can just bust out a whole bunch of graphics in one. You know, they don't have to design a whole world that you have to roam around or something. And yeah, it's really nice, really sweet game. It's very very puzzling. It uses really good function with the Wii Remote. Definitely recommend it so far. Of course, I haven't made it to the end yet, so I might end up just throwing the game in the trash when I'm finished, but
that's unlikely. I was gonna say, and there seems to be some decent replay value. We don't exactly know yet, but there's a lot of treasures to collect, and you have to go back through older levels to find them. And
yeah, it's like there's, you know, we say we're almost halfway through the game, it seems like, and yet we've only collected like 5 of like 600 treasures. You know,
yeah, it's unbelievable.
Like, where are all these treasures gonna come from exactly? Like, clearly there's something I'm just totally missing here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, when I play a game, I'll start the game and I'll kind of try to guess how long it's going to take me, and so if it seems like, you know, this with this game, there's like 16 things you're supposed to collect, And I'm like, really? Like, I already have five of them. I've only been playing for an hour. So
I start
getting disappointed, like, oh, this is going to be a really short game. But as soon as I found out there's all these treasures and there's side quests and different stuff, you know, trust me, there's plenty to do in this game.
So yeah, Zach and Wiki, go get it at this point. Good game. Comic talk. So last week we had a nice E for All comic that we put up. Showed our true emotions about E for All a little bit. I want to let everyone know I did not crawl across the floor at E for All.
We felt kind of obligated to do an E for All because we, you know, it was the first time we met each other and we went to this, you know, conference or whatever. And I mean, we had a great time, but I didn't want to. We had a few different ideas of what we wanted to do. We didn't want to force something, and this seemed to kind of flow out nicely. We both agreed it was a good way to go with the comic, and I really liked the way, Ray, you did the last two panels there, where they're like the same picture but they're split.
Yeah, they're connected. Yeah,
I thought it turned out well, and it seemed like most of the feedback we got was pretty positive, and people kind of understood. You know, we were actually getting a meaningful point across, I think, and that was kind of nice to do that in this comic. So,
yeah, it's better than making, you know, sex jokes or something in a comic every week. There's
right.
just something more fulfilling about actually having like a fairly quality joke as opposed to just like, oh hey, like let's make these two people naked and that's funny.
You're setting us up a little bit maybe for next week, I think.
Well, yeah, so what's going on next week, Tim?
Well, next week, I found somebody else to do the comic because I just can't take you anymore, Ray. No, Ray's friend.
A while back, we talked about maybe doing a guest strip sometime, giving me a break and having someone do a guest strip. And we got a few responses, and, you know, I just wanted to say thank you for your responses. You didn't go unnoticed. We did take one person up on the offer. Their name is Richard Aguirre. It's a friend of mine. He's a great artist. I'm really excited to see what he pulls out for the artwork for this comic. So, you know, I tend to try not to draw too much in the comics. I can't make it take too much of my time. So Tim's been holding this idea around for a while for this next comic. I don't know, do you maybe want to give a little preview?
We'll keep it a little bit of a secret, but...
Okay.
Suffice it to say, Ray didn't want to draw it because it was a little involved, I guess.
Well, it's not that involved. I mean, like, it's not so much about the joke. I just mostly, on one hand, I didn't find it too funny, and on the other hand, I really didn't feel like drawing all that artwork. You know, sometimes if the joke's really good, I'll go all out because I'm really into the joke. But sometimes I'm just like, I'm just not feeling it, you know? And then I just don't have the drive to really make it excellent looking. So this is great because Richard is a great artist, and we're looking forward to seeing what he pulls out of his hat for this one. So this kind of gave Tim an opportunity to pull that old joke out that we've had for a while since I think Metroid Prime 3 came out. Or I shouldn't say that, sorry.
Oh, now they know it's Metroid related.
No, I'll take that out.
it's okay.
I'm very excited to see what he has, and very, yeah, should be a good one.
Yeah.
That is if he gets back to us. We've sent him a few messages, and he hasn't replied to us yet, so here's so hoping he's working on it.
We have some sort of comic this week, right?
we haven't missed
a deadline yet.
If not, we'll resort to Tim's take and have him
no.
do another one.
Please no.
Your comic used to be good, but...
Oh, brother.
So yeah, look forward to Wednesday. Should be a good comic. I know I am looking forward to it.
I
get to finally
I think it'll
see
be the
what...
best one ever, actually. At least art-wise.
Oh, no. It'll be different. It'll be a different style, I'm sure. I don't know what style he's going to do it in, but I kind of have an idea, so we'll see.
All right, cool.
So with every great comic comes great comments. So that's going to take us to our suggestion box.
Yeah, I got a kind of a nice one. It wasn't actually on the site, but I got an email from somebody associated with the with IDG World Expo, who I believe runs the E4All convention. She just said thanks for basically the comic and the post that went along with it this week. Just kind of, she said, you know, thanks for understanding what E4All is all about. It's about the gamers, and that was just really neat to know that somebody, you know, involved with putting on the show saw what we did and kind of appreciated it. And you know, even if everyone else hated the comic, I felt like, you know, it was worth something to somebody, so.
Yeah, and it was pretty crazy because we got that email within 24 hours, the comic.
Oh, yeah, like immediately. It wasn't like a week later or a month later.
Right,
somebody
right.
Told somebody. You
and
know,
it didn't trickle down the line somewhere. It was like, you know, zap. Here's our email. Jeez, like, wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Yeah, I was telling Ray, we better watch who we make fun of from now on, because
well, we
Matt
had,
Casamassina might be knocking on our door.
We did have a talk about, does Matt Casamassina ever see me make fun of him in the comics, you know? And I was like, and I basically said, he's got to have seen the comics all right. There's got to be someone who's like mailed him or it's gotten to him somehow. Like, hey, check out this comic. You know, someone put you in it. You know, like he's obviously too big to write us an email, but yeah, it is kind of funny to think of who we're reaching that we have no idea about. Because I think about all the websites I go to, and I never leave a single comment or make any mention that I'm there. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, who's listening to this podcast and we don't even know it.
Yeah, and I think it's a little coincidental, maybe, that we've put Matt Casamassina in two of our comics.
It really is, yeah.
Because I have nothing against the guy, or
I actually
like IGN, and you know,
oh totally.
It just happened that way.
I'm definitely not like, oh, you know what? Oh, Matt looked at me funny through the video, and yeah. I really want to bash on him today. That's not the case at all.
Or the whole point of 2-Piece Art was to someday make fun of Matt Casamassina. Right? I mean, I don't think we had that in our minds, but
that's why I went down to California last weekend to help draw out our master plan for the IGN takeover.
Yeah, unlikely.
First we're gonna get E for All on board, and then we're gonna Yeah, my comment of the week goes to Blaggers. Here's what Blagger said. Pretty good podcast. Sounds like you had fun at E for All. But one thing, is Ray's girlfriend's name surrounded by hearts popping up while he stammers, "Oh, I told her I was doing a podcast today. Going to be a regular feature of this show? I hope to hell not. After two of them, it's already suicide-inducingly annoying."
That is pretty funny. He did go on, though.
He said some nice things, and I appreciate it. But I mean, that really made my day right there, was hearing that. and then later on, Lava said, "Don't listen to that talk. The Ray's girlfriend segment is great." Well, great is kind of an overstatement, but keep it anyway.
He rethought what he said and didn't want to exaggerate.
He didn't have time to delete the great part. It's like, you know, on second thought, it's not that great, but I just wanted to be supportive. That was really funny. We always appreciate your guys' comments.
Well, and Blaggers, to be fair, you know, he did put another comment in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I reread what I wrote, and it was, like, you know, too harsh. I was being rude or, nothing. It was just funny. We just found those funny, I think.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I actually sent the comments to Jessica to take a look at, and I don't know if she ever got the email or not. I never quite heard back from her. Speak of the devil, look who's calling. Guess who, Tim? Guess who?
Let me think. Is it Matt Casamassina? Wait, no. I think it's probably your girlfriend.
The one and only Jessica Briga. Oh, Jessica. With your girl's point of view, what do you have to say to get me through?
Hello, Raymond. Hello, Timothy.
Hey.
Hey,
I just thought I'd call in and address some of the concerns that have been posted, such as the ones you just mentioned. And I just want to make sure I'm not driving people away from the podcast, and I figured that this would be a good opportunity to help people see my softer side. So I really took those suggestions to heart, and I've really spent the last couple of days, well, I guess hours, but no, I mean the last couple of seconds, focusing on how I can address these issues mm-hmm. in an appropriate manner without making anything too personal.
That's good.
That's nice.
So with that being said, I want you to listen up, Blaggers, because you know who you are. And I hope to hell that you don't have a girlfriend. And if you do, I hope she dumps you quick. It seems to me that you're the type of guy who has nothing better to do but an attempt to bring down opinionated, intelligent, and adorable women. It's so obvious that the reason you write such hateful nonsense is because I'm a woman. And I'm going to tell you right now that I'm not going to stand for it.
She pulled out
and
that card.
And if I find out who your true identity is, I'm going to rip your freaking head off. And I may be harsh on the ears, but not on the eyes. And you better believe that I'll be back for the rest of these podcasts, too. Even if the show ends, I'll make my own freaking podcast.
That'll be the most
and
boring.
And as for you, Lava, I just want to thank you for all the support. But I feel that the term great is actually an understatement.
Wow.
Well, thanks, Jessica.
All I have to say, Ray.
Well, with that being said, I guess I'll just talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Okay. All I have to say, Ray, is no, she didn't. Uh-uh, girlfriend.
I could almost see your head tilt when you said that.
You mean like sway back and forth?
A little neck bend side to side there.
Side to side, yeah. Wow, that was her softer side, huh? On second thought, why don't you just not bring her out to California, like, ever, maybe?
So going from pure evil to even more pure evil, we got the Black Doom Award. Segway works, man.
Segway, that's right. Okay, so
go for it.
Well, go ahead, explain.
Oh, well, okay, well, the Black Doom Award, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Black Doom, but he made his first appearance, hopefully his last, in Shadow the Hedgehog for multiple consoles, unfortunately. He was the worst character Sonic Team ever created, and this award is in honor of him. Every week we're going to nominate really bad video game-related things, or really bad things we found in video games, and so this week, what do you have for us, Tim?
Well, my Black Doom Award goes to GameStop/EB Games.
Oh.
While I did appreciate that they actually had Zack and Wiki, unlike most other retailers, and that they had a 10% off coupon that I was able to use on the game, and that I had a gift card that I could use to help lessen the price of the game, I do have quite a complaint. And I think this has been addressed on multiple sites and such, but it's the first time I had experienced it. When I bought the game, I go up there, I'm like, hey, do you guys have any copies of Zack and Wiki? And he's like, oh yeah, we got two. And so he opens up a drawer and takes out a disc in a sleeve. And then he takes a box with a price tag on it that's opened. And he opens the box, the Zack and Wiki box, and puts the disc in there. And I'm like, is that new? He's like, yep, that's new. And I'd heard that they had this sort of practice before where they open every new game that they get and put all the discs in a separate spot from the cases, but that's just really frustrating because, you know, you go home, you take the game out of the bag, and it just feels used. And, I mean, the disc didn't have any scratches on it, but there's part of getting a new game is opening the shrink wrap, you know, and
yeah,
being the first person, the only person that's ever opened the game, and take a look at everything, and they kind of stole that away from me. So, shame on you guys.
Sounds like you have things pretty hard over there, Tim.
Let me tell you, it's pretty rough. I had to wait an extra 2 days to get the game than you, so.
Boy. All right, well, my Black Doom Award actually goes to a musical choice. And this goes to the end credits music from Dewey's Adventure.
Rainbow, rainbow,
oh my gosh. Wait, is that English?
I think it's a horrible form of do re mi.
It's Dewey's fairy tale.
Wow.
Yeah, so I really didn't have much of a problem with Dewey's music. And right up until the credits, like, I worked so hard to beat the game, and this was my present.
Yeah, that's not much of a present. Is that like a 4-year-old singing this song?
What I love is that he sings it off-key, too. That's the best part. He's got a whole, like, a whole...
background choir.
A whole family behind him, man.
That's not like Dewey's voice, is it?
No. But Dewey does sound like a baby.
Okay.
Did you hear that lyric? La la la, dreams come true.
Wow, that's powerful.
Here, listen right here.
Off key. Let's not.
All right, let's not.
Wow, thank you for ruining my night.
Yeah, no problem. So, with that, how about we cue some other music here? All right, so that will do it for this week's episode of 2P Start Live. We hope you enjoyed the show, and come back every Wednesday for a brand new comic at 2pstart.com, and every Monday for a brand new podcast. So with that, I'm Ray, he's Tim, and see you next week on 2P Start.
What? You have to prompt me a little better than that.
Yeah, are you serious? I do this every week.
On a new episode of... And then you go.
Okay,
like
all right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Join us next week for an all-new episode of...
Two-Piece Star.
Live. See you guys next week.